The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back. Second hour of the National Intel Report on this Friday, 27 October 2017. Dear Tom in Pennsylvania. And when I said, why is water wet? He says, call dental liquid. It's also not a gas or a solid. What does dental have to do with it? Is that a typo? But he capitalized it. And here it is. Because it's a liquid and not a gas or a solid. All right, then. Callers? Okay. Folks, are you hanging up? If you're going to take the time to call in, you thought you had something to say, stick around to say it. 800-313-9443. Well, you knew this was going to happen in our military-controlled police state. And we're getting closer to this, really tracking this thing out, that we are literally under military occupation. And in the coming weeks and months, this is going to be made perfectly clear without doubt, so we can all track and trace this, and then we can amaze and spellbind our friends. The U.S. is widening surveillance to include homegrown violent extremists. Wow. Kind of like the Hegelian dialectic. Create, demonstrate, and then come up with a solution? Yeah. And this is actually from Reuters, of all places. The U.S. government has broadened an interpretation of which citizens can be subject to physical or digital surveillance to include homegrown violent extremists, according to official documents seen by Reuters. The change last year to Department of Defense manual on procedures governing its intelligence activities was made possible by a decades-old presidential executive order bypassing congressional and court review. The new manual, released in August of 2016, now permits the collection of information about Americans for counterintelligence purposes when, and I'm quoting here, when no specific connection to foreign terrorists has been established. According to training slides created last year by the Air Force Office of Special Investigations. The slides were obtained by Human Rights Watch through Freedom of Information Act request about the use of federal surveillance and the laws for counter drug or immigration purposes and shared exclusively with Reuters. Now let me stop and digress here for a second because, bingo, what did we just see? What? Counter drug? Or immigration purposes? The purpose of leaving the wall down, so to speak, was to allow the problem to come into the United States so we could come up with a solution. Same thing with drug interdictions. Where's a lot of drugs coming from? Right over the Mexican border. Boy, with the help of our boys down in the CIA. Thank you very much, guys. And by the way, when's the next shipment coming out of Afghanistan? Yeah. I'll continue here. The Air Force and Department of Defense told Reuters that the documents are, in fact, authentic. So, folks, What they didn't do when we started the militias back in the 90s, we weren't called violent extremists. We were just somebody the FBI was real interested in watching. But we weren't a violent extremist group. And it is lawful. The unorganized and organized militia. Now, they classify the organized militia by the state's guard, which has been taken over by guess who? Uncle Sammy. But there was that unorganized thing out there. You know, that every man between the age of 17, well, you've heard it before. You know, one of the greatest, I think, demonstrations of why Japan would want to not try an invasion of the United States during World War II is because everybody had a gun. Whoops. But now the enemies of the Republic are now internal, which presents a whole new set of problems, doesn't it? But here again, what we have is the not emerging police state. We're already in it. It's a militarized police state due to the bankruptcy of 1933. And like I said, we're going to get into more of this in the coming weeks and months. So everybody stay tuned here. Because what I'm starting to see, and I asked the question, why this judge would want to be helping Mr. Eric John Phelps. Because they see the same things that you and I see. And most of them are interested in just keeping their judgeship and their pensions and their heads on their shoulders, or at least not waking up in the morning and finding a horse head in their own bed. A lot of them are scared. Some of them don't give a damn and are speaking out, or they're helping people and pointing them in the right direction to get what they need. And that's what I'm starting to see happen. So I've said this many times. We need all good men. I don't give a damn what you did formerly. I don't care what you do right now. You know, we're going to need a lot of help. So there. So you just come up with a reason. Do you think these fusion centers were put in because of Al-Qaeda and ISIS threat? No. The threat to their way of doing business is the good old-fashioned American out there that still thinks we have common law principle and common sense. They don't know what the hell's happened to their lives. They literally do not know what has happened and the reasons why. Well, that's why we're here. Google has partnered with an organization largely funded by George Soros. You know, the good Jew that grinds up other Jews to wash himself with. Way to go, George. And this is funded by Soros to fact-check news stories, a move that could affect search results for certain news agencies. Gee, I wonder if that means us. Erica Anderson, partnerships manager at Google News Lab, announced Thursday that the company will partner with the International Fact-Checking Network. Oh, they've got their own acronym now. It's the IFCN, at the Poynter Institute to fact-check news stories that appear on search engines. So they're going to be patrolling the internet to pull out the fake news. No, you know it's exactly the opposite. They're going to be there to snuff out the real news that happens to get on the internet. See, they can't shut us up, folks. We're on satellite. We're on internet. We're on radio. They can't shut us up. Because none of the aforementions follows under any government restrictions or licensing procedure. You know, we have no FCC permission slip to run a network. Ah, they thought that they'd stop that just by going to the stick broadcasters and regulating from there on out. With so much information available around the clock and across devices, being able to understand at a glance what's true and what's false online is increasingly important, according to Anderson. She said that Google... No, it's... The, yeah, thank you. She said that Google will work with IFCN in three ways. Increase the number of fact-checkers by holding global fact-check workshops. Wow. They're building their infrastructure. The online police are forming their structure. And they're going to be offering stipends for new fact-checking organizations, expanding the IFCN, Code of Principles, they're calling it, into new regions, and providing fact-checking tools to the IFCN community at no charge. That's because they're benevolent, folks. They really love humanity. The Code of Principles requires news agencies to obey five commitments to ensure news agencies remain honest, transparent, and nonpartisan. Wait a minute. Are they going to be checking out MSNBC and CNN? Hell, even Fox News, it's touting itself as not being fake news. Yeah, you guys are fake too. Go to hell, all of you. There are 36 signatories to the Code of Principles, including the left-leaning Washington Post, Fact Checker, and other fact-checking organizations from around the world. Alexios Manzarlis, the director of IFCN at Poynter, released a statement saying the 12-month partnership will enable the IFCN to encourage more fact-checking around the world while also helping raise the standards and impact of existing initiatives. The Poynter, spelled P-O-Y-N-T-E-R, Institute for Media Studies, is openly funded by George Soros and the Open Society Foundations. Soros, a veteran billionaire, vulture capitalist, supported former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton during the 2016 presidential election. Recently, Soros was criticized for transferring nearly $18 billion to his Open Society Foundations, making it the second largest charity in the U.S. after Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. The charity has been accused of inciting so-called color revolutions to install governments friendly to the U.S. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said through the statement that certain Soros-funded organizations defame the Jewish state and seek to deny it the right to defend itself. Wow. Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban also accused Soros of using his money to fund liberal NGOs influencing the European Union to accept asylum seekers in order to create a new mixed Muslimized Europe. I'm not even sure if that's a word. The Poynter Institute also receives funding from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Wow. Folks, imagine if I had the money of Bill Gates and I set up a foundation and I had money to pour into groups that knew their golf ball from a hole in the ground, let's just put it that way. And we were out there, instead of trying to push the boulder up the mountain, we'd be on top of it, rolling it down the damn hill. Whoa. Now there's a thought. The Google Poynter partnership was announced days before executives from Google, Facebook, and Twitter are all scheduled to testify before the Senate and House Intelligence Committee. Now there's an oxymoron. On alleged Russian meddling in a 2016 presidential election. Oh, they're going to bring it in under that umbrella. I see. Facebook, which has come under scrutiny for their part in spreading false news stories during the election, has also partnered with Poynter Institute to launch its disputed news tag on stories deemed false by fact-checking organizations working with social media giant. Stories flagged by Facebook users as fake news are passed on to these fact-checkers for verification. You need to be vetted. You need to be verified. If not, you're a non-entity. You do not exist. If, in fact, the checkers agree that the story is misleading, it will appear in news feeds with a disputed tag along with a link to the corresponding article explaining why it might be false. Google News Lab previously partnered with the Poynter Institute to introduce a fact check tag that labels news articles the company determines might contain fact checks in order to help readers find fact checking in large news stories. Wow. So we're going to be fact checking the fact assemblers. Now, how do you think that's going to go? That's right. You already know where it's going. Absolutely amazing. You know, in this country, you know, there was a reason why in the first 10 amendments to the Constitution had that First Amendment of freedom. Freedom to do what you want, you know, freedom of speech, to assembly, to organize. Yeah. Freedom. But the cultural deficients out there, they don't want First Amendment. They don't want freedom of speech. They only want their speech. Well, how many more amendments are we going to check off this list before we now find ourselves 100% USDA graded communist nation? But these buttheads don't even realize what they're trying to tear down. They only know what they know. They're in a vacuum of non-knowledge. They're making decisions based on absolutely nothing. Just what somebody said or what they heard or what somebody put on a flyer. Wow. Deep critical thinking. Yeah. That's going to make a difference. Speaking of fact checkers, you're going to love this one. You know, we've said that the United States follows England. We're about 10 years behind them. Well, the UK police arrested more than 3,395 people for online hate crimes driven by hostility. Hate crimes. Been arrested. Kidnapped. Folks, we're talking about highway robbers out there. If you ain't got anything to turn you upside down and shake out of you, well, we'll just take you off to jail, which puts you in the system that generates a lot of money anyhow. Official UK police guidelines require that a hate crime must be driven by hostility. But police are unable to clearly define what hostility means. I guess in a snowflake world, everything but them. The Crown Prosecution Service advises officers to look for unfriendliness as a sign of a hate crime. Cheshire police have warned users of social media not to post offensive comments or they could face a 2-year prison stretch. What? The kidnappers want to incarcerate me for 2 years because I'm unfriendly? Which I just wanted to prompt me to say, go screw yourself. Is that offensive? Is that hateful, Mike? Well, guilty as charged. Glasgow police demand that people be kind online. Authorities are encouraging an increase in hate crime reporting. With guidelines like these, the reports will come in and perfectly normal people will become ensnared, especially those who are angry about fraud and corruption in government. Oh, gosh. Official guidelines insist a hate crime must be driven by hostility, but when contacted, many UK forces, they're doing the no-necker, palms up, going, huh? They're unable to give a definition of what they mean by hostility in the context of hate crimes. Breitbart London contacted dozens of forces to ask for their working definition of hostility and was referred on to the dictionary definition, which includes unfriendliness and dislike. Wow. Others referred Breitbart London to national bodies, including the College of Policing. Get that? COP, COP. And the Crown Prosecution Service, which both admit that there is an absence of a precise legal definition of hostility. Wait a minute. But that's not going to stop them from arresting you and possibly in jailing you, dragging you in court, and sticking you with a 2-year sentence. They can't even tell you what the hell it is, but they're going to be out there arresting and jailing? Maybe it's about time to take the guys that run around calling themselves police. You know, you're hateful people. I want to see you locked up for a couple of years. Citizens Militia, Citizens Grand Jury, let's get on with this thing. We'll be back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Watching the watchers. Dictionary definitions include a wide range of normal human behaviors and emotions, and images on social media suggest police officers being told to look out for unfriendliness as a sign of a hate crime. I can't be an angry old white curmudgeon. Come on, man. That's my right. The CPS also mentions ill will, ill feeling, spite, contempt, prejudice, unfriendliness, antagonism, resentment, and dislike as examples of hostility to be taken from a dictionary. Well, they just define married couples right there. One time or another, what are they? Ill feeling, spiteful, contemptuous, prejudicial, unfriendly, antagonistic, resentment, and dislike. Yep, that's the normal marriage, so I guess we're going to have to arrest these people too. And one time or another, they have fights, and they're unfriendly. Now, many of these emotions, of course, are subjective, raising concerns police could target people inconsistently and unfairly. Yeah, oh gosh, here comes the balancing act. This is what was always given. Now, we got to strike a balance. No, you don't. You need to keep your nose out of people's private affairs, even if it is on a public forum, you asshats. Others have pointed out dislike of immoral things is often honorable. Leicester Police refer to the College of Policing Hate Crime Operational Guidance. We refer to the Standard English Dictionary, one force told Breitbart London. Cheshire Police and Dorset Police, their forces told Breitbart London that they follow national guidance, including the CPS, with a later force insisting that they ensure officers and staff understand that they are able to identify hate crime. Cheshire Police have previously warned users on social media not to post offensive comments or you could face a large fine or up to 2 years in prison. And the Glasgow force has demanded people be kind online. You know, isn't that kind of like back in the VHS days? Please be kind, rewind. North Yorkshire Police simply sent Breitbart London the citizen's advice and home office definition of a hate crime. And that is, any criminal offense which is perceived by the victim or any other person to be motivated by hostility or prejudice. Does that mean I can't get mad at Donald Trump or Barack Obama either? Is that hateful? Excuse me, I couldn't get... That came so fast, I couldn't hit my cough button. Excuse me, folks. Now, that's just the wind of change blowing through the office, and that's what it sounds like. The hate police are here. Oh, gosh. Now, for recording purposes, the perception of the victim or any other person is a defining factor in determining whether an incident is a hate crime or in recognizing the hostility element of a hate crime. The victim does not have to justify or provide evidence of their belief, and police officers and staff should not directly challenge this perception. Evidence of hostility is not required for an incident to be recorded as a hate crime or hate incident. But that's what they just put in their terms, their definition, hostility. But that's not even required for an incident to be recorded, so, oh, we don't even need a reason is what they're saying. In August, the CPS announced it would prosecute hate crimes committed online as vigorously as those that take place face-to-face. Or in January, they issued new guidelines stressing that, and I'm quoting, in order to treat a crime as a hate crime for the purpose of investigation, there is no need for evidence to prove the aggravating element. What they just said there is, we don't need a basis for anything. Hate crimes are given harsher sentences than other crimes, and therefore it is possible that claims of unfriendliness with no supporting evidence could land somebody in jail for a substantial amount of time. And earlier this month, it was reported that between 2016 and 2017, was the largest ever rise in reported hate crimes, yet the number of prosecutions actually fell. Wow, that's good policing. 800-313-9443. Anybody out there? Do I put you to sleep? Are you just so damned angry, you know you can't talk in a civil tongue on air?
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over two with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com. Educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to aroutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Seven Uranium One Facts Every American Should Know. Hillary Clinton and the Obama administration find themselves at the center of an explosive scandal involving the transfer of 20% of all U.S. uranium to Russia via the sale of the Uranium One Company. Just as 9 foreign investors in the deal funneled $145 million to the Clinton Foundation to help grease the wheels. Now, Betty in North Carolina brought this up, and I'm going to go through this. I didn't have a chance to do it before. And it also involves the Bundys, whoops, in that federal case that's going on. See, we can't let this cat out of the bag, can we? Too many people would go down. Here are the seven facts about Uranium One deal that you need to know. Peter Schweitzer broke the Uranium One scandal, Government Accountability Institute. President and Breitbart News Senior Editor-at-Large Peter Schweitzer broke the Uranium One scandal in his book, Clinton Cash, The Untold Story of How and Why Foreign Governments and Businesses Helped Make Bill and Hillary Rich. In the book, he reported that the Clinton State Department, along with other federal agencies, approved the transfer of 20% of all U.S. uranium to Russia, and that 9 foreign investors in the deal gave $145 million to Hillary and Bill Clinton's personal charity, the Clinton Foundation. Wow. Remember what I said about getting ahead of the story, this Russian collusion, Trump, and trying to destroy the DNC and all this other stuff? This is the perfect example of getting out in front of the story and spinning the narrative, folks. But guess what? It ain't working. Next up on the block, the New York Times confirmed the scandal in 2015. Yeah, even they're forced to report every once in a while. The New York Times confirmed Schweitzer's Uranium One revelations in a 4,000-word front-page story by Pulitzer Prize-winning... I'm having trouble with Pulitzer and uranium today. Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative reporter. It detailed how the Russian energy giant Rosatom had taken over the Canadian firm with three separate purchases between 2009 and 2013, largely coinciding with Hillary's time as Secretary of State. Next up, the FBI uncovered evidence that Russian money was funneled to the Clinton Foundation. The Hill, which is not a bastion of white paper journalism, The Hill reported last week that ahead of the deal, the FBI had uncovered substantial evidence that Russian nuclear industry officials were engaged in bribery, kickbacks, extortion, and money laundering to expand Russia's nuclear footprint in the U.S. as early as 2009. The agency also found that Russian nuclear officials had routed millions of dollars to the U.S. to benefit the Clinton Foundation. The Justice Department would sit on the evidence for 4 years before looking to prosecute, by which time the deal had been approved. Remember, folks, there are two things that you never escape the long arm of the law. That's murder and treason. Keep that in mind. Congress is now investigating. The Senate Judiciary Committee has launched a probe into the scandal and has sent requests for more information to 10 federal agencies involved in the approval of the partial sale of Uranium One, asking what they knew about the FBI investigation and when. Now, not why didn't they know, but when did you know it and when did you know? Or what do you know and when did you know? Wrong question right up front. Bill Clinton was paid $500,000 for his speech in Moscow. It's kind of like him going home. He spent a lot of time there. Bill Clinton bagged a $500,000 speech in Moscow, paid for by the Kremlin-backed bank, shortly after Russia announced its intention to take a majority stake in the company. According to the Times, Clinton traveled to Moscow in June of 2010, the same month Rosatom struck its deal for its majority stake in Uranium One. Number six on the list. The Clinton Foundation took big bucks from uranium investors. According to the Times, the Clinton Foundation received $2.35 million in donations from Ian Teffler, a mining investor who was also chairman of Uranium One when Rosatom acquired it. He also received $31.3 million and a pledge for $100 million from Frank Grustra, the Canadian mining financier whose company merged with Uranium One. And lastly but not leastly, Senate Republicans want an FBI gag order lifted. Senate Judiciary Chairman Chuck Grassley, which I saw this interview that the press was doing with him, and you want to look like, if you want to find a man that looks really uncomfortable in his own skin, that was Chuck Grassley. Oh, yes, we should have this witness come forward, and yes, he should testify. And we don't know what he knows, but we probably won't know for another 2 or 3 weeks, of which I took that to mean, how can they intimidate, kill, or bury this? And when I say kill, I mean that in its literal sense. So there was old Grassley, Senate Judiciary Chairman. He's called for the Justice Department to lift the gag order on the FBI whistleblower, indicating that he may have more explosive revelations related to the case and on what the Clintons and the Obama administration knew about the case when they knew it. What I just read you right there in one little short story with 7 bullet points, folks, is enough to start an investigation right then and there. But, of course, we're dumber than they are, and we're just conspiracy theorists, and we don't know our golf balls from a hole in the ground. Mike in Colorado. Hello, Mike.
Hey, John. Thanks for taking my call. I wonder, did you ever notice how when we do it, it's a crime, and when they do it, it's a scandal?
Well, no, when they do it, it's okay, and if it's not legal, they make it legal. Yeah.
Well, the reason I called was to tell you thank you so much for having Eric John Phelps on.
Yeah.
I'd never heard of him. I couldn't even have dreamed that he would go to the county court and have the brash to do what he did.
Well, and
I'm going to copy
it. And he's having some very good help with this, and that's the guy I mentioned, Tony. I talked to Tony for, about an hour and a half, almost 2 hours, I guess, today on the phone. And I discovered that this man knows a lot that I didn't know, and he's tying up some things that I have yet to connect the dots. And I'm going to have him in studio. He's actually the one that actually has written the letters to the several agencies of the federal government.
Well, and I'm going to have to archive and make sure I can try to hear that, because I kind of committed to myself that I'm going to follow that lead and I'm going to do the same thing.
Yeah. The problem with Eric's seminars, they're a tad bit expensive. I think the one down here in Austin is like $1,800.
Oh my goodness.
But when you think about it, you know, and I was told the reasons, 3-4 years ago, Eric had his own business that he up and quit to dive down this rabbit hole, to spend the time, you know. So he had his own business, and he gave that up to pursue this. So in kind of a way, it's like a value package. What would you be paying for a lawyer to defend yourself against the federal criminals coming after you?
Oh, 10 times that, easy.
Well, and the thought behind this is, and it is true, that the information that he makes available through him giving up his own business, spending his own time, the $1,800 or whatever it is like a pittance compared to the hell that you could be put through by these people victimizing you.
Those criminals. So, yeah, and it kind of, he kind of alluded to it towards the end, I think, if I remember correctly, that he's going after his Social Security trust.
Yep.
And if you get that back, that pays that pays over and over and over.
Well, there.
So I think it's interesting.
Yeah. So is that it?
Oh yeah, no. I appreciated the fact that you had him on, and I'm going to listen to Tony, the next guy, and I'm going to try to put my ducks in a row, because if we sit back, education is fantastic. All of you're educated. All of your listeners are educated. There's a point where I think for me, in a country of 340 million people, when 90 whatever percent of them are not, don't care, can't pay attention, don't understand, I kind of feel like I'm on my own, unfortunately.
Well, look, in anything, in history past, it's never been the majority. It never has been and never will be. It is those people that consider life, liberty, and the pursuit of property, which originally what it was, this is not an easy task. This is something that the majority will never agree on, even though that if they knew everything that we know, they would go, oh, yeah, I'll give ascendancy to that. Yeah, that's cool. I'm down with that. You know, they just don't engage, or they don't care, or for whatever reason that they're not there. That's never been the excuse of keeping the ship from sinking. You know, if you're taking on water, that's the time to bail, not have a 10-hour meeting and create a bureaucracy to figure out why you're sinking, because by that time you're already sunk. You know?
Right.
I mean, it is what it is. It's always been the people themselves that have done this. Governments have destroyed cultures, societies, and entire populations. But it's always, is at the root of all this, Mike, is always the people. And there is going to always be a smaller percentage of those people that stand up and make that difference, that set the rights, or the wrongs to right, I should say, and get on with this thing that we call life.
Which honestly and sincerely makes me so thankful that not only did I find RBN in your broadcast, but that you keep doing it. I'm so thankful for that. So,
well, I'm going to keep doing it for as long as I can. I haven't stroked out yet. I haven't had a heart attack. I don't think I have dementia yet. I'll have to get back with you on that one. But
I'd ask Mike that, but.
But the only thing that we need to do to keep running is some funding from the listeners out there. Because, folks, in the immortal words of one football player in a pregame huddle going in onto the gridiron, he says, we're all we've got. And it's true. We are all we have.
Copy that. When I get more, I'll send it. Thanks for your broadcast.
Hey, thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. It's always been a small percentage, folks. Remember that. You know, prior to this country being formed and we were still subjects of the great king, England was such a grand country. And they sent their little colonists over here. Oh, we got a brand new piece of property over here that we want to conquer. People come over here and go, well, you know, wait a minute. Well, just hold your steed there, kingy. You know, I think we're going to strike out on our own. And it was only 3% of the population that took an active part in bringing this great country together. Wow. 3%? And it was the usual excuses and the reasons back then. Well, you know, I've got a business. I don't want to be targeted by the British. And blah, 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 blah. You know, I've got a family and I've got... Blah, 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 blah. And I don't want to get because... Blah, 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 blah. Same excuses. Folks, the one thing that I've discovered throughout time, throughout human recorded history, is human nature. It is always there and it always will be. So once you get that drilled in your head, then you can start to understand why people don't engage. They would much rather ride on other people's coattails. And depending on how many people you got riding on your coattail, well, that walk gets a little arduous, don't you think? Can you imagine wearing a long coat and having 20 people you got to pull around? Phew, it's exhausting. There are some days that it's hard for me to motivate myself without somebody riding on the coattail. But it is what it is. We find ourselves in the position that we are in today. And that's why water is wet. Oh, boy. Out in California... Oh, the great sunshine state. Or is that Florida? What the hell is California known for? Besides the illegals. Besides communism. Out in California, Department of Motor Vehicle workers issued hundreds of bogus truck driving licenses for bribes. And this is according to the feds. I'm sorry, Mikey, what? It's the golden state. The golden what? All I see is a communist red star up there. Flip that a little bit, and it looks like Baphomet's head. And the bear? I don't know what's golden about that. And they call themselves California Republic? They need to change that. It should be the California Democracy. An undercover sting operation that led to bribery charges against two California Department of Motor Vehicle employees this week is part of a major six-year probe by the FBI. Now, what stuck out immediately to me, they've been doing this for 6 years, and they're talking about illegals paying money and people taking bribes to make sure they got their proper paperwork. 6 years ago, if the wall would have been sealed or built or the southern border sealed, would we even be talking about this? But we are talking about the FBI. Okay. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security and other federal agencies that so far have resulted in charges against 8 individuals and the revocation of hundreds of commercial truck drivers' licenses around the state, according to court records. The latest employees to be charged were named in documents unsealed Thursday in federal courts in Sacramento. The government alleges that they took bribes from Southern California truck driving owners to alter DMV records to show applicants had passed their written and driving tests to allow them to obtain licenses to drive tractor trailers and buses. Now, okay, if you speak Spanish, does that preclude you from knowing how to drive a truck or a bus? No. But but it would show one thing, that they're illegals. Yeah. These defendants were identified as Lisa Terenzano, 51, who worked in a DMV office in these are actually cities in California, Winnetka, or whatever that is, and Carrie Staccagla, or Leah, sorry, 38, a DMV manager who worked in offices in Granada Hills. Skip that. Online records indicate that she is the daughter of Vito F. Scatagalia, a deputy chief of investigations and enforcement for the DMV in Southern California. Whoops. And Carrie was paid $52,500 last year, according to the Sacramento Bee's online state salary database. And Vito Scatagalia, whatever the hell his name is, who earned $119,000 last year, he didn't respond to a telephone request for comment Friday to his office. And the DMV said he would not be made available for interview. He was not involved in the hiring of Carrie, the DMV spokesman said. Even if they weren't related, he wouldn't have been involved in her hiring because she was never hired to work with the same division. The ongoing probe already has resulted in guilty pleas by some former DMV workers and at least one truck-driving school owner. And evidence in the cases include video of undercover agents rolling into DMV office parking lots and exchanging envelopes with money for him with employees standing outside waiting for them. Isn't the technology wonderful? One Sacramento lawyer and former prosecutor who represented a DMV defendant in the earlier cases said he was not surprised the investigation is continuing. Public corruption cases are a matter of the highest priority for the Department of Justice at both the state and federal levels because it's the system itself that's under attack. Wow. Wow. Is this a caller who wants to get in? Yeah, tell him to get on the air. He'll be the last phone call of the day. Tell him to make it fast. It's Bob Tuscan. Now that name I know. Hello, Bob Tuscan.
Where the hell you been, man?
why is water wet?
So, a couple weeks ago now, I don't think it's been that long, I was at the Richard Spencer debacle here in Florida.
Yes.
So I decided, first of all, it was just insane. I did not see a single Nazi, for the record. And I realized that all of the white nationalists that they claimed were going to be there because of this whole Charlottesville thing, I realized they were just frat boys. In fact, they looked identical. You know, U.S. is a big college town. They looked identical to frat boys. It was quite compelling. But anyways, I ran around and, you know, asked different questions. And I had one question. U.S. has the largest Jewish population of a college campus here in Florida. And my one question was, what is the difference between white supremacy and Jewish supremacy?
And the answer
is, you
anti-Semite, you, Bob.
Well, I know, I'm an anti-Semite Jew. It's a real conundrum. But the answer is, and they would look at me like, what are you saying? I said, the difference is white supremacists are marginalized in the media and treated like scum, but Jewish supremacists are given a black budget for never-ending bombs. They're given a country in the Middle East and able to steal somebody's homeland, and they're able to create false flag terror and control the banking system and everything else.
And you got out of there in one piece?
I did. In fact, I even got into it with one of the leading Jewish reporters in the White House press field. And we did a huge debate, him and I. And to his credit, he really did go blow for blow with me, and he did not run away. Which I, you know, these guys, the second you start pointing out the hypocrisy, they run. But to this one guy's credit, I think he worked for the Jerusalem Post, he went blow for blow with me. And I was throwing the USS Liberty at them, and you know, it opened up a whole.
How long, Bob? How long? Discussion. How long was the discussion?
With this one reporter, it was a good 15 minutes.
Hmm.
Yeah, surprising.
Yeah, it is.
All right, John. Have a good weekend, man.
Bob, you do the same. Good hearing from you.
All right, take care, dude.
Bye. All right. You know, that's one of those why is water wet questions. Where have you been? boiling in hell right now, because I think I'm suffering the wrath of I didn't do right in the before life. Just teasing. So, a lot of interesting things are happening. Coming up November 4th, as I said, watch for the Great American Snowflake Meltdown. And the stuff that I have seen, folks, it is beyond even comprehension. Yeah, I'm a veteran of this stuff for a lot of years, and I am in absolute awe of what these people are doing. I mean, just... Remember the scream therapy that they used to do? That somehow that you just vent, you scream and tear your vocal cords out, that somehow that's a self-healing process? That's the mindless stuff that these people are doing. And and if you check the tweets and the Facebook, and you know, we're all going to be screaming, their heads to the sky, and they're going to be screaming at the sky is the meme that's following this. Wow. You know, chill out, watch a World Series game, have a beer and a hot dog, and shut the hell up. You know? Amazing. By the way, if you can quickly find out, Mike, pull up the batting guys, the team members of the Houston Astros. Where's the Jose guy? Jose, can you see? What's the guy's name? Altuve, A-L-T-U-V-E. This guy, he's 5'0" and wields the bat like Babe Ruth. It's the most amazing thing to see. I'm rooting for the Astros, folks, and I'm doing that because Justin Verlander was stolen last year from Detroit. No, he got out of Detroit because he wanted to go with a team that was on the verge of winning. So, just a little baseball thought there is Jason in Boston. Jason, we got about 1 minute.
Okay,
go.
Well, hello, sir. It's going to take a lot less than that. I don't even know what show I called into. I listen to RBN during the day. I'm busy in the evenings.
Uh-huh.
But I just received a lot of wire, information that Robert Miller has opened an investigation
on,
and I can't find on the internet.
Open an investigation on what?
Exactly, that's the point. Is this just another fake news garbage?
Have you
guys heard anything about it?
Nope, not yet, but I'm sure we will over the weekend. Hey, I've got to run. Thanks for your last minute call, ladies and gentlemen. Please, it's the end of the month. And we got the new bill cycle out there. Dig deep. Please make some donations to this network so we can continue the war on stupidity and criminality.
Allow me to read you one of them from Amazon.com. I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. I was a little bit alarmed, as I have always been in good health. I started this regime as soon as it arrived, and I have noted that the heaviness in my chest is gone, and the pressure headaches I have been having are lessened. I am hoping to see greater results as time progresses, as I am an avid non-user of pharmaceuticals and avoid them at all cost if possible. This was, I think, a great alternative to heart medication. Not that I am a doctor, and for some, there is no choice, but again, for someone like me, I am so far pleased with the results. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can. handle the truth.